quality and quantity, both important.
It's associated with anxiety and depression, for sure, even in adolescents and teenagers. That's why I think that's so important. And there's now increasing evidence that chronic insufficient sleep is probably related to Alzheimer's disease.
How sleep impacts the body, today in the Upper Cumberland. Are common sleep disorders keeping you awake? Well, you're not alone. According to estimates, 50 to 70 million Americans have ongoing sleep disorders. They range from insomnia to more serious issues like sleep apnea. The Cookeville Regional Sleep Center deals with all types of sleep disorders, many of which have long-term impacts on your health. Dr. Jim Davis, Scott Clayton, thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you.
Dr. Davis, the issue of sleep, for a lot of us, it's not an issue, except maybe that we don't get enough.
Right.
But there are a lot of people among us who simply have trouble sleeping, right?
Right. Yeah, and a lot of it we bring on ourselves. We contribute to the problem. The biggest sleep disorder, you ask people about sleep medicine, they instantly think about sleep apnea. Pretty much everybody knows about that now. The major sleep disorder is insufficient sleep, and it's pretty pervasive. In fact, you could say it's almost epidemic.
Is that more about simply, for whatever reason that we'll get into in the course of our discussion, not being able to sleep or not giving yourself enough time to sleep? Or is it some of both?
It's both, but the major issue is people not getting enough, just not getting, allowing themselves enough time to sleep. And it's surprising how many people don't know how much sleep that you need. And they think they're functioning pretty well on insufficient sleep. I hear that a lot. It's really a issue. I wanted to make sure I got this in. It's a major issue for children, adolescents, teenagers. And when I've talked to teenagers, for example, in the presence of one of the parents don't know how much sleep the child needs. They'll usually say something like 8 hours, but that is not enough for a teenager even. They don't want to hear that. And part of the problem with insufficient sleep in that age group is just allowing them the time to sleep. It's not always them. Social media is a big issue.
And I was going to say, can they be away from their phone for 8 hours?
That's right. It's right. And it's hard for a parent to do this, but that phone shouldn't be in the bedroom. In fact, there shouldn't be anything in the bedroom except a bed and a dresser, maybe.
I want to come back to that because I know that that's a sticky subject.
Yes, it is.
But let's start with just some basic truths. You said 8 hours, and I think most of us believe 8 hours is how much sleep you're supposed to get. But I take it from some of the insinuations you've had that maybe that's not an across-the-board number from zero to death.
No. Probably from about, people mature at different rates, but probably from about age 20 on, 8 hours may be enough. But below that, it's more. And, of course, we all know babies sleep all the time. But a child in grade school probably should be getting 10 hours. And parents don't realize that. If you go shopping at Walmart late, you'll see parents dragging their kids in there. So that's a major issue. And even teenagers and in high school, 9 hours, that's really hard for them to get. It's hard for them because of school start times and all the activities that they're in and the homework and everything. It's almost impossible. And a lot of school districts are beginning to realize that and pass laws where school start times are later to accommodate the kids. So, which would be a great thing, and I'm putting that plug in.
You hear people say, well, I'm getting older, and so I nap more, or I fall asleep
when I get home from work. Does that count in the sleep time, or is that a different phenomenon going on?
It does, although ideally our sleep would be consolidated, because it will allow us to go through the evolution of sleep that we have at night, progressing through different stages of sleep, and there are four stages. So if you're getting a little catnap during the day, you're not getting, you're getting some sleep, but it's, you're not getting deep sleep and you're not dreaming and that sort of thing.
So, it's kind of sleep that doesn't count?
Well, it does count. I mean, anybody that's taken a power nap, a 15, 20 minute nap, knows that it can really be invigorating. So there's nothing wrong with that. And I think a little power nap or a short nap after lunch is probably a good thing. It would improve our function and our health. But there are lag times during the day when we become sleepy naturally. And after lunch is one and late afternoon's another one. You don't want to give into that late afternoon nap, because then you're in trouble for getting to bed at night. It counts, but you still want to get 7.5 to 8 hours a night on average.
We're talking about the issue of sleep. For a lot of people, it's not an issue at all, but for a lot of your friends and neighbors, it may be. We're talking with Dr. Jim Davis and Scott Clayton with Cookeville Regional Sleep Center. Our conversation continues on the issue of sleep and what problems may be preventing you from getting the sleep that you need. Scott, before we move forward, just a brief overview of what the Sleep Center is for those that may not be familiar that there is one at Cookeville Regional.
Well, we test people for an array of sleep disorders. We do see a lot of sleep apnea, which is an issue, and we have an 8-bed sleep center. We have all registered sleep techs, and we are accredited by the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, and Dr. Davis, he interprets all of our studies. We have a nurse practitioner on site too that we see patients in the sleep center also. But we have a lot of people, a lot of sleepy people come in.
Let's take the issue of sleep apnea out of this for just a second, Dr. Davis. But when people are struggling to sleep, is it generally more a physical issue or more a mental issue?
Well, there are people that have chronic pain, for example, and those sorts of things. And trying to improve a person's sleep is going to be frustrating unless the pain is dealt with. So that's sort of a separate issue. If you don't deal with the underlying physical problem that's maybe impeding the sleep, you're not going to get anywhere. But a lot of it is mental. And stress plays a part, and but also I talk to people a lot about sleep hygiene, because there are things that we do to ourselves to prevent ourselves from getting enough sleep. And I've heard countless times the comment from patients saying, when that light goes off and I try to fall asleep, my brain just takes off and it starts going. And I spend some time. Well, my first question to them is, what are you doing right before you go to bed? Well, I'm checking Facebook, I'm answering emails, or I'm watching television, or I'm this or that. And I tell them, you expect to be able to turn that off and turn your brain off at the same time, and it's not going to happen. We really are, all of us, starved for solitude, quietness. Our brain, we're overstimulated. We've got electronic media everywhere, including what I'm talking about right now. But
we consider this a good.
That's right. It all has its place, and if it's used in the right manner, it's all good. But there's some times when we just need to turn everything off. And the term I use is, you need a worry time, and you need to turn all the electronic things off in your house, all the, you know, even your phone probably, or at least mute it, turn the television, turn the radio, turn everything off, maybe even begin to dim the lights, get off of the laptop and the, maybe an hour before you go to bed, and you need to sit down and have a quiet time. That's hard. If you've ever tried to just sit still for 15 minutes.
With no phone, no TV, even a book?
If people are, if people are telling me, yeah, I'm reading a book in bed, I get drowsy and I turn off the light and I sleep great. And I say, that's fine. That's okay to do that. But if they tell me I put the book down, turn off the light, and then my brain starts up, then they need that, you know, they need that time of meditation or worry time. And for a lot of people, it's a worry time, because I'll say, well, what do you think about in bed? Well, what I got to do the next day, and, you know, I start going over that, or what happened the previous day. And I tell them, well, don't do that in bed. If you find yourself doing it in bed, get out of bed, go somewhere else. Don't turn the television off, no distractions, and do that.
It's almost like we treat sleep kind of in the same way that we treat food, that, you know, we were all, especially in our generation, this is when we eat.
Right.
And you eat now, and it doesn't matter if you're hungry or not. This is eating time. And now this is sleep time.
You know, and that's not the history of man or our human existence. This idea of an 8-hour time of sleep at night, that's in the last 100 to 150 years, mainly with the invention of electric lights and,
really,
you know, oh yeah. People often, years ago, maybe a couple of hundred years ago and back from the beginning, might have two sleeps at night. They might have a first and a second sleep, and they might get up in the middle of the night and talk to someone. Or if the weather was good outside and the moon was up, you'd go spend some time with your neighbor. You might do something productive. They still got lots of time, but they still got plenty of sleep, but it wasn't always consolidated. We've consolidated it by pushing it because got to get to work. The problem of the clock had a lot to do with it too, and the Industrial Revolution, and, you know, our work that we do, and now electronics and things.
That's such an interesting thought, though, because you think about, okay, in the days before electricity, what did you do at 7 o'clock at night?
That's right.
What did you do at 8 o'clock?
Right, and only the upper class might have candles and fireplaces in every room. Most people, especially the poor people, they might have one fireplace in one room, and they all slept in the same bed or in the same room. This idea of everybody having their own bedroom and their own, you know, heating and their own lights and everything, that wasn't the case, and it's hard to imagine that, but we don't have to go back very far. Before the American Revolution, even.
Dr. Jim Davis, Scott Clayton are with us there with the Cookeville Regional Sleep Center. We'll tell you, by the way, how you can get in touch with the Sleep Center if you feel like you could take advantage of their services as we continue. In our closing moments, as we talk about the issue of sleep with Dr. Jim Davis from Cookeville Regional, are you seeing more issues with sleep as we are a society that is tied to our electronics?
Yeah, the introduction of every new technology has been a challenge, you know, electric lighting and, you know, television, and now electronic media is just one more challenge for that. And that's almost a whole new topic, how to deal with electronic media and how to conquer that and not let it conquer us, because it's doing a lot of damage.
Are you concerned about the sleep patterns of younger people and the long-term impacts of kids that are starting with electronic media at 6 and 7 and 8 years old? and the impact long-term on their sleep?
Not just sleep, but the mental health in general. But yeah. I would, if you listen to the recommendations of the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, they caution against use of that early on in children, because for that very reason. That becomes a battle and a responsibility of the parent to help rein that in, because kids don't make good decisions sometimes.
And it's easy to get addicted to.
It's easy. And one of the things that surprised me the most, you talk to kids about, you need to turn that phone off and you need to put that phone away. Don't have it in your bed. That's right. And yet seeing that adults that do it of all ages, it's addictive, and it's designed intentionally to be addictive. So we have to take control of it.
Next week, our discussion continues of the work of the Cookeville Regional Sleep Center and how they can help you. We hope you'll be with us.